Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Ask the GP, where we get your medical, your health questions, queries answered if you're looking for some free medical advice. Dr. Sumi Dunn, who's a GP in Laois, is with me here on the programme today. Sumi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Andrea. I hope you're enjoying the rest of the sun.
Yes, it's not as sunny here in Dublin this Monday, but it's still pretty hot and pretty humid, so we'll enjoy it for the next couple of days. I know the weather's broken some parts of the country already, but hopefully it'll come back. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number if you have a question for Dr. Sumi Dunn today. Sumi, I was just chatting to one listener there before the break around, who had got a mosquito bite while away abroad on holidays, scratched it, drew blood, eventually turned into sepsis, ended up in ICU, and now 8 months later has finally turned a corner. But what is the medical advice, first of all, actually around this? Because, you know, a lot of us heading on holidays or people just back or even here at home in Ireland will get mosquito bites over the coming days.
No, absolutely. I'm so sorry to hear that. The key is not to scratch. That's the key. And once you've broken the top, it breaks the skin surface, which then means bacteria can get in. And it's once the bacteria can get in, it can set up for a localized infection, which could be a cellulitis, that area of redness around the skin, or something much more sinister, as happened to your listener, sepsis, which is quite unusual. But again, we don't know who may, you know, develop sepsis from a simple bite that gets scratched, and who may not. So if you do get bitten, prevention is kind of better than cure. So the mosquitoes are out. You know, if you're traveling abroad in the evening, repellent, wearing longer trousers or longer skirts, that does help preventing getting bitten. If you do get bitten, then number one, please don't scratch the bites. However,
it's so hard though, Sumi.
It is desperately hard. Little things can happen. Applying local ice. You know, if you're sitting around and there's ice to hand, wrap some ice in a serviette, never put ice directly onto the skin, put the ice on the bite. That cold ice will help take away from the itch.
Okay.
If you've got access to antihistamines, a lot of people travel with antihistamines, part of a travel kit. Take one when you get in. Do remember, antihistamines and alcohol, not a great mix. So you need to bear that one in mind. But do take an antihistamine just to reduce the itch factor. If it looks like that the bite is getting red, and again, in some people, things look much more ferocious than others, keep an eye on it. A useful tip is to draw with a biro around the circumference of the bite. And if the redness is spreading outside that circumference, that needs medical attention. Or if it's unusually painful, mosquito bites, they're itchy, they're annoying, but they shouldn't become painful. But, you know, repellent and don't scratch, please, as hard as you can.
Try not to scratch. Yeah, I know. And for the antihistamine, is there any you know, are there certain ones in particular? I know you can tend to get drowsy ones, so I suppose probably best avoid those.
Yeah, they're generational antihistamines. You've got first generation, second generation. Most of the ones that you buy over the counter nowadays are second generation, which have less drowsiness. Again, it depends on the individual and how they react. Some people find certain antihistamines suit them. Other people find that a different type or a different brand suits them. Again, over the years, whichever one suits you, you know, try that. If brand A isn't suiting you, you know, by all means, go and try another brand widely available over the counter.
Okay.
And then there are a few in what we call the GP armory, where people may have tried over the counter antihistamines that not worked for them. And we can happily give you a script before you travel.
Okay, and ice in a napkin or a tissue is something I hadn't heard of before, but
But putting ice on a bite really works. It really, really works. But the key is never put ice directly onto the skin,
though?
Because that can also can cause a burn. So if you have a serviette to hand and you're near ice, wrap some up and put that on the bite. And that may just give you some temporary relief.
Well, it's good to know and good to get some, I suppose, medical advice too around that. I'm sure plenty of people have probably been bitten or potentially likely to be bitten if they're heading away on holidays. 087 1400 106, that's the WhatsApp number for your medical questions for Dr. Sumi Dunn. This listener says, my HRT patch won't stick properly. Should I be concerned or should I be doing something different?
Yeah, it's a hot topic, literally, forgive the pun, at this time of year. Part of it is because we're sweating more, you know, with the heat and the humidity. So do try different areas to apply your patch. Anywhere below the waistline is fine. Use go below your belly button, top of the hip, backside, lower back. Absolutely fine. You want somewhere which is fairly hairless as well, and you don't want to have any kind of sticky residue on your skin. So you really don't want to have sweat on your skin, you know, water straight out of a shower, moisturizer, fake tan, etc. You want to apply your patch to clean, dry skin. If that's not working for you, and some women, for whatever reason, patches don't stick, then you can put on a clear plaster on top of your patch to try and adhere that to the skin. If that doesn't work, the mode of delivery might have to change for you. Talk to your GP, and we can easily interchange the patch for a gel or a spray for exactly the same dose. So, you know, it's worth trying filling around to see where suits you. It's quite a common thing at this time of year, just as the temperatures have increased.
Listener here says, I had an operation around 5 months ago on my ear due to colostectoma. Now my other ear over the past few months seems to have had similar issues with sort of a bloody leaking fluid type. Is this common? Is it common to get it for both ears, asks this listener?
It's really important. If you've got an ongoing chronic discharge from your ear, don't dismiss that. If your listener has said there's a bloody discharge, then that really does need to have some attention. Do get your GP to have a look into the ear canal. They can very quickly ascertain, is there something local? Has it been irritated at a local level? Believe it or not, cotton buds tend to be the main culprit. But if it's ongoing and persistent, then that does need evaluation.
Does need evaluation. Simi, I'm just going to get you to just try and reconnect with your phone line there if you can. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. This listener, Simi, has got in touch to say, my girlfriend has a serious problem with drinking from the time she wakes up and in work. I would really like her to enter some kind of rehabilitation program. At the moment, her insurance can only give her cover for one particular, the Rutland Centre. The issue is that they don't do, is it a detox on site, and say she should go to her GP for medication. She's visited two of her GPs, both refused to provide any medication for a community detox. Is there a reason for this, or what else can she do? If you have any advice, I'd appreciate it.
Oh, that is such that is so tough for everybody concerned, both for, you know, the patient and also for the person that's so invested in their healthcare as well. I would say go back to the GP. This needs a nuanced, detailed conversation and an understanding of why it's so important to have robust treatment and follow through. It may not be that something can just be done at a community level. Specialist input may be required. There are other centres that are available. I do understand the limitations sometimes with insurance, but there could be alternative inpatient aspects that could be explored with the individual and also the person that's caring for her. And so obviously cares so deeply that they're asking us for advice. It's not something that can be just, let's say, organised with a quick answer here. I would very much suggest for this particular listener and their girlfriend to get back in touch with their GP as soon as possible for follow through care.
It's very difficult. This listener, Sumi, was diagnosed with calcium deposits in their right shoulder tendons. They told me there's nothing they can do to help. Is this true, and also what causes it?
The causes could be multifactorial. Sometimes it's age, sometimes it's genetic, sometimes it can be kind of lifestyle issues. So there's, you know, there's a load of reasons around it. The key is to keep moving and to keep that joint nice and supple and mobile. So don't just, you know, rest it. You need to keep it moving, you know, move it or lose it. What can you do moving forward? Very much work with your physiotherapy colleagues around this if there are joint limitations happening for you. Again, it's one of those hard ones where we just say it can be an anomaly and we just have to kind of live with it, I'm afraid.
Okay. This listener is female in her 50s. She says, Sumi, I have a light rash on my neck with little white bumps in it. Any thoughts or idea on what this might be?
Really hard to diagnose rashes without actually casting eye on it. You know, how long has it been there? You know, we need better descriptors, need to have a look at these little bumps. That definitely needs to look with a GP.
definitely needs to be seen by a medic, does it? No question.
Yes,
there.
Does.
Okay.
It's very hard to diagnose rashes by just somebody, you know, describing them to you. And this is an ongoing issue. We always say to everybody, if you've got a rash, can we just cast our eye on it? Within 30 seconds to a minute, we'll be able to tell you, is that okay, is it not?
Okay. Listeners, 57, male, and in the last few weeks, I've had continuous pins and needles in my thumb and forefinger on my left hand for hours on end. Any advice or what's your thoughts, please?
Needs to be looked into. Left arm, sometimes tingling in the left arm, particularly in the extremities, could either be nerve, it could be muscular, it could be trauma, or more sinister, it could be cardiac. So we really need, you know, a complete evaluation. So don't ignore, please get to your GP, let them examine you. The key is we want to make sure it's not a cardiac cause.
Okay, so that's somebody needs to be seen. And this listener, Sumi, finally says, I'm 34 and I think I might be going through perimenopause. I suffer from night sweats. I don't feel as mentally competent, among other things. I've gone through a lot of testing. I've always been told everything looks fine. I'm told I'm too young for this. It's been a couple of years. Do I need to go to a specialist? Would HRT be something I should be looking at? Or what's the best step?
At 34, there is a condition that we are aware of known as premature ovarian insufficiency. The likelihood, if there's a hormone issue, it's more than likely going to be in that realm as opposed to coming into the perimenopause, menopause, in which case, again, your GP would refer you on to specialist care if we were thinking it was a premature ovarian insufficiency, or a POI, as we call it.
Okay. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. I just want to read this message that's actually come in from one of our listeners to say, I just wanted to write in to say thank you. As you'll see from the message I've sent in, I got in contact one Monday afternoon back on the 4th of December in 2023 to your Ask the GP conversation about a problem I was having with my eyes. And I was told, I have been told to wait by the opticians. Your GP answered my question, though, and told me I needed to go to see a GP, which I did. I was then subsequently sent to A&E and after a process was diagnosed with MS. It was hard to hear, but it's good to know now and good to know early. So I just want to say thanks a million to the GP for doing that and for this particular segment, because I probably might not have gone to the GP as early as I did if not. So look, a very hard, I'm sure, diagnosis for that listener, but we really appreciate you getting in touch and letting us know that. And thanks a million. If you have any questions you want us to chat about, you can get those into us by email, lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. You can listen back to our podcast conversations. They're all on the Newstalk and the Go Loud app. You can subscribe there to Lunchtime Live. My thanks though to Dr. Sumi Dunn, who's a GP in Laois. Sumi, thanks a million for joining us. Of course, Ask the GP will be back at 1:40 next Monday afternoon.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.